Again, I'd like to thank those that contributed to the writing of this lesson. Your input was invaluable, and I wouldn't have gotten the material that I have without you guys. So thank you all very much. By way of review, we're studying single in Christ. People are single for many different reasons. By choice, they haven't met someone they can spend their life with, or the person they met didn't ask. They met and married someone in sinful actions by one or both. Parties led to being single without the possibility of remarriage. They met and married someone, and then the death of that loved one led to being single again. So we saw, for whatever reason, it brings both challenges and temptations that are unique to the situation. We looked at what God's will was for singles. And we read where Jesus said his will is for you to be his disciple. And then we looked at the temptation of sexual immorality and temptation of self-centeredness and selfishness. We got a lot of good comments, a lot of good notes up here on some ways to motivate yourself and some ways for others to motivate you. And then we looked at some other ways of allowing others to care for you. We also looked at feelings of inadequacy, understanding everybody is waiting for something. We talked about some ways that we can use our gifts to help and serve others. And again, we have a lot of this on the board, and I did a printout as well of everything that was on the board for you to take home if you wish. It's over on the table. And we talked about feelings of loneliness and envy. So tonight, we're going to talk about resolving to wait productively and idolatry. Wanting something so bad, we obsess over it. And you have to think, are you ready to give up your Christianity for it? It can be many things, but in this case, for single, it's looking at loneliness and wanting to be married. Let's turn to Ephesians 5:5. And read that, Ephesians 5:5. And it's on your handout as well if you have one. And if somebody would like to read.
For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
So we see from this verse it is something that needs to be guarded against. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:34, and the unmarried or the betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord. How to be holy in body and spirit. So this tells us that we should be using our time for Christ. You don't have a spouse that you need to care for or worry about. So you have more power and more control over your time and over your money. So are you waiting productively? You do this because it's what disciples are called to do. And for all of us, it's growing our faith. Let's read Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23. If someone would like to read.
And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily to follow me.
So we see from this, it applies to all of us. Being single doesn't exempt you from this. So ask yourself, what are you doing to bring glory to God? Don't waste the time you have available to wait for the one. And instead, use your undivided devotion to honor God in your life. So how are you waiting productively for the next phase of your life? 1 Corinthians 7:32-34 says, I want you to flee from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. So we see also that the desire to get married and find a husband can become an idol. Anything that takes the place of God in our hearts, even if it's a desire that to enjoy a blessing that God gave us, that God created for us, is an idol. So rather than spending your time and energy trying to find someone to marry, spend your time becoming the woman and servant God wants you to be. You don't want to look back and realize that you've wasted 10 years trying to find a spouse so you can serve God together. Rather than working on your relationship with God and serving Him every day. So become a woman of God so that you're ready if a godly man comes into your life, but also if you're ready and when he doesn't come into your life. Any comments, any questions? Okay. So the next section we have here is some things that the older single women gave me that they would like to share with the younger single women. If you don't find a husband, your life is not over. It has tremendous worth. Remember, unmarried people have little more flexibility. Enjoy your time being single. Take the time to figure out what kind of husband you want. Look for strength and character. Observe how he treats others. Does he greet the visitors? Is he respectful and kind to everyone in the church and outside of the church? If you marry, it's going to be forever, so don't settle. Realize that life is not always going to go according to plan or how you feel it should go. But this is the case for everyone. Remember, when life does not go as planned, God is not turning his back on you, nor are you being punished for a wrong. Also, don't think you are not good enough. You have a place and you have a purpose in God's kingdom as a Christian. Marriage out of the pressure to be married. When looking for a spouse, you won't find one that is perfect because we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What you want is a man who will follow Jesus, admit to their sinfulness and their need for a Savior. Look to the Bible as their guide in their life, one who will help you serve God and wants to help you go to heaven. Biblically, ladies, you can find the description of this type of man in 1 Timothy 3 under the qualifications of an elder. Understand, if marriage doesn't happen for you right away or ever, it doesn't mean that you are a failure. There were two sermons that were recommended for everyone to listen to, but also specifically for the young single ladies. I did listen to both of them as well, and they recommend them as well. The first one is The Importance of Friendship. Mark preached this and the other one that I'm going to mention, and they are on the Westside website. All you have to do is go in the search engine and put in friendship, and you'll find it. So The Importance of Friendship. And from that particular lesson, something really struck me. And 1 Samuel 23:16 says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh, and strengthened his hand in God." So find your Jonathan. Find that friend that's going to pull you from temptations and strengthen you in your walk with God. Find your go-to person. The other lesson was Successfully Single, Helping Single People Bear Up Under Singleness. These are both older lessons, but they are very, very good to listen to. Next, let's look at purposes for all of us. First of all, do we have any comments or any questions on anything so far? Y'all are so quiet tonight. So, all of our purposes. Single, married, young or old, male or female, we are to walk in God's way and to bring others to Him. Let's read Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8, if someone would like to read that.
"He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?"
So be a friend like Jesus. Let's read Philippians 2:5-8. Philippians 2:5-8. Somebody else.
"Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross."
What a friend that is, isn't it? What a friend he is. Ones that will help you get to heaven, that will be honest with you when you are falling short. One that will pray for you. The value of true friendships can be as important as the marriage relationship for singles. Next, we're going to look at some verses on friendship and how it strengthens us. So there's quite a lengthy section of verses, so if some would like to just start reading, and when you're done, you can let somebody else read. But we're going to read through these verses here.
Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another.
James 5:16. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has a great power as it is working.
Proverbs 11:13. He who is trustworthy is in spirit keeps a thing covered.
Proverbs 12:26. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor.
Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise.
Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times.
Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Proverbs 27:9-10. Seek the life of the upright.
Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And then the last
one. 4:2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love.
So we see from all these verses the value of true friendship. They all stuck out to me, but the one that really just hits home is the Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. It just paints a picture of the support that you can get when you have that true friendship and that one person or more to lean on when you're in need. Any comments or questions? Okay. We are going to look at the pros of singleness. Before I get into the pros and cons of singleness, these comments, all of them are from single people that sent them to me. So let's pay attention to them because this is their feedback to all of us. So the pros of singleness. View being single as an opportunity rather than a burden. Remember, you have a choice to be happy and to be content. So choose to be happy and content in whichever state you find yourself. We see from Philippians 4:11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Look at being single as an opportunity to grow your relationship with God and His wisdom. Remember, you are not alone, even though it may feel like it. Everyone has struggles. Singles can become anxious and depressed with their current situation. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. There is more time to visit and help those in need in your congregation. The Proverbs 31 woman's characteristics can be applied both to the single and to the married women on how to become a godly woman. Fear the Lord, care for others, and be wise in your season of singleness. This will prepare you if in your future there is a husband. Although this doesn't mean you aren't busy living your life. You don't have to ask anyone if you can take a trip. You only have to ensure that you're where you can be, where you need to be when you worship God on the Lord's Day. You don't have to consult or consider anyone else when you want to spend your money. You can do things in your own time frame and you have more time to invest in you. And know that your marital status should not prevent you from actively doing God's work. Any other pros you can think of to being single, singles? Yes, ma'am?
They can eat whatever they want for dinner. That is group discussion. It's a group discussion for
40 years.
If you want to have scrambled eggs, go for it.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. You can eat whatever you want to for dinner. Yeah, because Ted will not eat some of those things that you eat, Kendra, so I'm kind of stuck not getting to experience that kind of stuff. Yes, ma'am.
One thing to remember is, 100 years ago, women didn't have the choices we have today. I mean, I'm not single, and I'm not saying we should be career-minded, but women 100 years ago, they needed to marry because there wasn't hardly anything they could do to make a living.
Right.
So
look at that as a blessing. If you are single and can't or don't want to find a husband, whichever the situation may be, it is a blessing. And we did study some of that on Sunday, where, especially in biblical times as well, where marriage was really the only choice for a woman, that or prostitution. So anything else?
I just want to say something.
Sure.
For those that don't know, I wasn't raised in the church. I came to Westside 12 years ago. When my divorce was happening. So my marriage was falling apart because I had this husband that was cheating on me. And so God took the darkest time of my life and turned it into a blessing. And to the young girls, I just want to say that married, not married, career, no career, kids, no kids, that doesn't determine your worthiness.
Amen.
How you serve God does. In this room, is full of women from all different backgrounds that do that every day. We've all had struggles or made mistakes in our lives, but we do our best. And so don't be afraid to reach out to us and listen to our stories or ask us. We care about your hearts and your walks, and you can learn from our mistakes because I know we've all made some. But without the women in this room who I have leaned on over the last 12 years, I wouldn't be the Christian that I am. So thank
you
all, and thank you for this
class. You're going to make me cry. But amen to everything you said, because I can say the same thing. I've been a member here at Westside for 43 years, and I wouldn't be the woman that I am today without a lot of you women in my life, too. So, those are the blessings that we need to all look at, but especially when you're struggling. Look to those positive moments and those positive things in your life. Now we're going to look at some cons. Oh, yes, sorry. You're over here in the corner and I don't see you, so I apologize.
I do want to say, before we go through the cons of singleness, sure, it's important to remember that these cons of singleness don't only apply to single people. You can be in a relationship and you can still struggle with this stuff. And especially if you and your partner aren't walking together or working toward the same goal, then it's, you can still be single and in a relationship.
Of course. Right. And this lesson, I guess, the reason why it's more directed towards the singles, because that's what the lesson is on. But I agree. I think everything that we've talked about in this lesson can be applied to any relationship that you have in your life, whether it's marriage, whether it's friendship, whether it's even work and the things that we have to do out in the world, So, yes, 100%. You are correct. Yeah. Thank you. Anything else? So, cons of singleness. There's loneliness at times, and it's hard to keep yourself motivated. You can become arrogant or too independent. So Galatians 6:2-5 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." There's a struggle to be submissive to God and His will. Sometimes we feel like we know better because we're used to doing everything on our own. We have to make those own decisions. So it's all on you, and you tend to sometimes carry that burden a step further than it should. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. And Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. So again, when you have that temptation to do these things, turn to Christ. No one is readily available to share your thoughts and concerns, to sit down and eat with, and study with on a regular basis. There's no one to go out to eat with or extracurricular functions. You must ask for help on things, or the opposite may be even true. You don't want to ask for help on things, so it just goes. I'd like to tie this into our lesson, though, on gratitude that Melinda did for us. Realize that God created this church for us for many reasons, but this is one of the reasons. Rely on your brothers and sisters in Christ. They are there to help you, single or married, but they are there to help you, young or old, because we all need each other. And I don't know what I would do without this church family. And I don't know how people out in the world that don't have this get by, because that's how great a support you all are. Financially, the responsibility is on you and you alone. You have to make sure you budget better and look at your needs versus your wants. Even though you've been a faithful steward of God, there are times when it may feel like he has forgotten you, when you're wondering if you'll ever find your Mr. Right. It feels like you do not belong when so many lessons are on marriage, families, or they're directed to the young singles of high school and college age. Because of this, there is a tendency to isolate ourselves when we shouldn't. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. Being single or widowed, people forget about you because you aren't a couple. And that's a light bulb moment for us married people. You aren't invited to social events because you're single. And holidays are not easy. Dating today is hard. Young people may be waiting for the perfect partner out of fear of settling or looking for a better option. Christians that are widowed or divorced may be holding on to the past too much, the good or the bad. If you want to marry or remarry, you must look for someone that knows they are a sinner and accepts the Bible as their guide to their life, someone serving God that can help you do the same. If you find someone that loves the Lord, you are with someone that will help you grow spiritually. And then here's some pros from widowed singles. A positive is you have God and he makes you strong enough to go on. God gives you memories to have for the rest of your life. God is always there no matter what time of day or night it is. You pray to God to help you get through your loss. Over time it does become easier, but it never goes away. And then some cons when you're a widowed single. The Lord said to become one. After the loss of half yourself, you feel lost. You don't have your partner to discuss and make decisions with. And there's a loss of companionship that you once had. The hugs and the kisses. You lose your couple status with your friends and you tend to be forgotten about. Are there any other cons that we need to be made aware of? Okay. So, you are just fine as you are. 1 Corinthians 7:7-8 says, I wish that all were as myself, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and to the widows, I say it is good for them to remain single as I am. First, it needs to be said that marriage as well as singleness are gifts from God, and neither is better than the other. However, Paul, who was not married, shared that he wished everybody would have the same amount of time he had to devote themselves to God's ministries. This was possible because he did not have to care for a wife or for children. Therefore, this Bible verse on being single shows us that you are at an advantage when it comes to serving God because you can devote yourself more completely. Remember our examples at the beginning of the class on Sunday. Mary Magdalene, Anna the prophetess, Philip's four daughters who prophesied, Jeremiah, Elijah, Paul, and then the greatest single of all, Jesus. They were all used in God's kingdom and all taught his word and are exemplary examples of singleness. If someone would like to read Matthew 6:33.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
So we see from this the main focus during single season, as well as other seasons of our life, should not be on how to get a man, but how to draw closer to God. Abiding in God's presence, delighting in his law, trusting in his promises will help you receive God's best for your life. Let's look at Isaiah 43:4. If someone would like to read Isaiah 43:4.
Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life.
So what is God calling you in this verse? Precious. Precious. What a comfort that is. God is calling you precious here. Remember that your identity in Christ is not found in your relationship status. Don't let your faith fall into frustration. So what are singles doing while they wait for the Lord? Let's look at Isaiah 40:29-31. Isaiah 40:29-31.
He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Every time when I study in this, the last part of this, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's just such a verse that is so comforting, and it just strengthens you so much. So use these verses from God's word to provide you comfort in any stage of where you're at in your life. So again, what does the Bible say about being single? The truth is, God does not favor married people over single people. God has equally beautiful promises for single women as well as married women. The Bible encourages men and women to be patient and utilize their singleness as a season to pursue their purpose and grow in their faith. In Matthew 23:30, it says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." There is something that matters more than marriage. What is that? God. That's right. Speak up, Sherry, when you got it. Our relationship with God. No earthly relationship transcends our need to serve God. Luke 14:26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, and wife and children, and brothers and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Any comments or questions about this section? Linda?
I do think it's interesting is when he talks about they neither marry nor given in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So that relationship's not even going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, you could both, you know, go at the same time, and you're still not, it's still not going to matter because we're all going to be single in heaven.
Right. That's an excellent point. Yep. Thank you.
So we're just practicing before you
guys. That's right. So you're going to be so much better at it than we are. Got a leg up on us. I love it. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. So here's some things that single people would like to say to people in the church or to others in general. Don't say things like, "Why aren't you married?" "Don't you want to get married and have kids?" Or, "It'll happen one day." In the same way, it's hurtful for a woman who is struggling with infertility to be asked, "When are you going to start having kids?" It can be hurtful to someone who isn't married to hear those other questions. Don't assume a single person should even pursue marriage. You may not know about something in their past that prevents them from pursuing that relationship, and in turn, to be encouraging or tempting them to sin. Include the singles in things. They may not have all the things in common that you and other married women or mothers do, but they long for godly friendships that God intended for all of us to have. And then let them be a part of your kids' lives. This is especially a blessing if you wanted to be married and have kids, but have passed the point of life where that's even a possibility. Your kids may fill a hole in the heart of a single person, and it gives them a chance to be a godly influence in your kids' lives. Kids never have enough godly people to turn to, especially in this day and time. Any comments and questions? Anything to add? Yes, ma'am?
Well, and I'm now with having different types of friends in your family. Your kids need to see different examples of Christians.
Yes.
They need to see a single man or a single woman and not think, well, you know, they're not accepted unless they marry.
Right.
You know, that helps to just make the world a little richer for all, you know, if our family can be a little diverse.
Well, it does. And it also gives them the example of, okay, here's this marriage, but here's a life of singleness that is successful in the world and in Christ too. So it's this example that they set for them in their lives as well. Because, you know, nobody knows what the future may hold for your kids. So, good comment. Yes. Anything else? Okay. Some misconceptions that single people deal with. And again, this is from single people. We have tons of time. We are busy living our lives as best we can. And remember that they do have to do everything for themselves. We come to church looking for husbands. Evidently that's happened to some of us, one or two of our singles. They come to church to worship the Lord, not to find a husband or even steal a husband. You know, when you think about it, if you accuse a single woman of stealing a husband, you're calling them an adulteress in a sense. So, think about that. We have nothing in common with married women. But one of the most things you do have in common is the Lord. We serve the Lord together. So if we are serving the Lord together, we have an opportunity to build a friendship from that. And then remember also, we're women, so we always can find something in common. We are obsessed with being married. Realize that some singles don't want to be married. They're happy living an independent life. There's room also for platonic relationships. As Lori had mentioned in one of our previous lessons, there must be boundaries set so that you're not tempted to keep So you're not tempted to take your focus off the Lord. If we don't want to be married, then we must have a submission problem. We don't have a submission problem because if you realize it, we are in submission to everything and everybody daily, not everything. We're in submission to our bosses. We're in submission to our parents for youngers and sometimes older if at times. And you're in submission to the authority and into the government. And so there's just so many. And above all, we are in submission to the Lord above everything else. Yes, Stacey.
One thing I think we forget about submission is that men are in submission too.
Exactly.
They're in submission to God, and if they're not, then they're wrong. I mean, so sometimes we like to take that on as a badge of, I don't know what you would call it, the badge, but anyway, we're all in that position, so we can all help each other.
Right.
As well.
I love that. I hadn't thought about it in that aspect, but you're right. I mean, again, we're all women in submission, but think about it. Men are all in submission. You know, again, as this person pointed out, we're all in submission to someone. So, and above all, we're all in submission to the Lord. I don't have anything else on that, so is there any other comments on that? Misconceptions that we need to be made aware of. So, in conclusion, sometimes being single can be hard, especially if you're feeling lonely and you desire to be married. Always be open to the blessing of a relationship with a spouse when God puts one in your path. Look at the inward person, not the outward person. Look for someone who can help you get to heaven. However, if that doesn't happen, or if you end up single again, through whatever life throws your way, remember that you are still a child of God, and you're still able to serve and able to spend eternity in heaven. In the moments when you get weary and start thinking that God has forgotten about your heart's desire, it's important to remember to pray and turn to someone for support. And God accepts you just as you are. You can serve Jesus as a single. That's where your focus needs to be. And I want you to always remember. I get emotional every time I say this part. You are seen. You are loved. You are needed. And you are sisters in Christ. And we praise God for you. Sorry, I told myself I wasn't getting emotional. But every time I read that at home and I was practicing, I got emotional. So I guess it was inevitable. I want y'all to know that the elders are planning a single Saturday in the near future.
Whee!
Exactly. I love it. They don't have a date yet, but they're working on speakers. So I'm assuming as soon as they get the speakers lined up, that they'll set a date. So that's our lesson on singles. Is there any other comments or any other observations?
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's been a learning experience for me to teach this lesson. It's been an emotional experience to teach this lesson. And it kind of surprised me, but I've loved it. I've loved it. So thank you, all of the singles that contributed it and trusted me with your information and trusted me to present that information to all of us ladies. So thank you for this opportunity. It's been very rewarding for me. So anything else? We got 2 minutes, so don't get rowdy. Yes, ma'am.
Remind everyone if they have a question.
Yep. If you do have any questions about any this lesson or any of the previous lessons, you know, there's a question box over there. The next lesson is going to be on building relationships. Melinda's going to be teaching that for us. Inspiring hope, listening and reaching out, believing the best, and forgiving is going to be all under building the relationships. And we'll have that for Sunday, next Sunday and Wednesday, that Melinda will be teaching that. So I'm looking forward to hearing that.